we ride at dawn, as the kids say. We are officially done with the go-home show for TNA, leading into Rebellion. And yeah, no, we did get a banging main event. But I also feel that we were left with a lot of questions. But there was also a lot of stuff that I like leading into Rebellion. But before we dive into all that, hi, all you BC WrestlePod nerds out there. Welcome to another rendition of the Takedown Troop Review, your weekly TNA wrestling review team. It is Mikey and Andrew this week. Unfortunately, Will had to bow out for the evening, but he will be here for the watch along for Rebellion and the review the following day. It's going to be a busy 24 hours for everybody. I'm just going to let you all know. And then for those of us that are pulling double duty, you will catch my mug both for the review of Rebellion on Sunday and the review for AEW Dynasty on Monday. And then we're done with the April pay-per-views, because then we have to prepare for May. It's literally a two, three week turnaround before Under Siege, Andrew.
Yeah, it's crazy stuff.
It is definitely wild. But we are here to review the Thursday, April 18th, 2024 edition of TNA Wrestling. This is the Rebellion Go Home show. So we're not going to waste any time because we got a lot to do. So we're just going to jump into it. TNA this week kicks off with the singles match. This is Hammerstone taking on Guido of the newly formed reiteration of the FBI. Josh Alexander is on commentary for this one. Let's be all the way 100. This was a squash match.
Yeah, there was no doubt about it.
Oh my goodness. This was a squash match, and Guido comes back to get squashed a lot.
It's funny. The only thing I really got out of this match was realizing that Hammerstone is kind of a new age, younger version of Big Papa Pump.
I was about to bring that up too, because I'm like watching this. I'm like, he's just missing the chainmail.
Yeah.
I mean, he's got the look. He hit the. I don't want to say anything bad, but look, there's a lot of muscle on Hammerstone, but he gives me. This is the nice way of putting it. When Hammerstone walks, I'm just like, I was like, I'm hearing the theme song for Magilla Gorilla be playing in my head every time he walks. I don't know what it is with big muscly dudes and just something that affects the posture and the walking. They walk around like they are distant cousins of King Kong and whatnot.
Yeah, he just gives me the feeling like if Scott Steiner had become Big Papa Pump earlier in his career. But yeah, it was an elongated squash match with a little bit of interaction with the rest of the FBI. Seemed like, you know, maybe they'll have something with, I forget the guy's name, that's the bigger of the two new FBI guys, that there might be some, you know, maybe a match in the future between the two of them. But other
is
than that,
Clayton, is that his name? Don't ask me why this name popped into my head.
Yeah, the other guy's like Raz J or something. I don't know.
Something like that.
But really this was just about having Hammerstone and Josh jaw at each other during the match with Josh at ringside.
Again, Hammerstone, I know you're from Arizona, but I'm still trying to figure out who's darker, him or Bronze Breaker.
His is worse because he has blonde hair.
Yes, I'm just like, sir, you look like you aged 20 years. Like, what is this? But again, I'm going to be completely honest. I feel like the build to this has been okay. Like, there are some parts that I've liked so far of this build, but I am excited that we are getting a last man standing. But again, Hammerstone, I like you. I really do. But I hate the torture rack as a finisher because it doesn't look great, especially when you can barely lift your hands up with all that muscle you got going on. I'm sorry. I said it.
Yeah, and it's just, I don't know if it's because they're trying to either make him seem more vicious or if it's because like wanting to stay away from the nightmare pendulum being used too much because, mm-hmm. you know, fear of injuries or anything like that. But yeah, I think it needs to be something with higher impact. If, I mean, it's funny to refer, you know, compare him to Scott Steiner, but give him the, you know, camo clutch or something like that. Give him something else that can look a little more vicious. And I just looked it up. It's Ray Jazz and Zach Clayton are the rest of the FBI.
Okay. Gotcha. Thank you, Andrew. Mm-hmm. So I'm excited for what we're getting at Rebellion between Hammerstone and Josh. This is going to be the blow off match, which I'm excited for. And thank you for listening to us and putting a stipulation on this thing that I feel that this third iteration of the two needs. So I'm still looking forward to this match, but again, elongated squash match, as you said. And we move on from here because the next best thing that happened is backstage. We are with Ash by Elegance and her concierge, Chevalier. We're going to interchange those terms here. And they're talking about what happened last week because Santino wouldn't allow Ash to face for the title. So they're going to do it anyway. You know, it's just like, I love this, how nonsensical their line of logic is. But who should come and interrupt Ash and her Chevalier? But Zaya Brookside, who does bring up the fact, is like, how is it that you're going to try to go get this title when you could barely beat me fair and square? So I already talked to Santino. And next week, we're going to have a match. And I love how Ash and the Chevalier at the same time were like, no, call the lawyers in unison. I'm just like, look, formerly known as Dana Brooke, Ash, I love that she's having fun with her new character. I'm enjoying myself. And, you know, we're getting Ash and Zaya next week, so I'm excited. It's going to be good. I'm really enjoying this weird feud that we have for Zaya and Ash and... Mm-hmm. I'm excited to see where this goes because I love both of them. And I'm happy to see that Zaya is continuing to be used as one of the newer, you know, stars and one of the younger stars in TNA as well. Lest you forget, she's barely in her 20s at this point.
Yeah. Yeah, this was fun. I was happy they set up a rematch. You know, it kept it going in a way that it needed to. And I'm happy that they also didn't try to add it to Rebellion.
I am too. And that's what a lot of this night felt like. We were reminded to kind of finalize certain things for Rebellion through promos and certain matches. But then we're also setting up what's going to be past Rebellion too, which I also appreciate. Because a lot of my critiques with go home shows is that sometimes we focus so much on either getting ready for the pay-per-view or so much looking past it. We don't really necessarily get an even distribution of both. But I feel like for the most part, TNA tonight did a good job of being able to balance out both for what's to come at Rebellion and then what's to come leading into the next two pay-per-views of the cycle, which is going to be Under Siege in May and Against All Odds in June, which is inevitably probably going to lead into Slammiversary in July. I wouldn't be surprised if at Rebellion we get the announcement of when that is. So we'll see what happens with that. We get a very fun, and I like that TNA is like, you know what, Jordan, you're in Australia, just do a promo on your phone. So
in the airport. She's
in the airport in Australia for some reason. So she's holding her iPhone and she cuts this promo and she addresses the fact that Matt Cardona is not going to be there because he injured himself. How dare you, Matt? You ruined it. Just kidding. So Jordan says that with Matt out of the picture, now it's going to be one-on-one with Steph. And Jordan's not afraid of Steph through this promo, but then Jordan also hinted at the very end, just like you have tricks up your sleeve, I also have tricks up my sleeve that you'll see at Rebellion. I'm like, who's going to be in Jordan's corner, if anything? Like, she's teasing somebody.
Yeah, or something. Like, I think we're going to see some interesting stuff come up, especially because I feel like Matt was probably going to play a big part in the match. And so now I think they're going to go for some other stuff. And I feel like the two of them really like to have fun, but also do big spots. So I think we'll get some really fun stuff out of this match.
I totally agree with you. And so we cut from Jordan on her iPhone at the Australian airport. And we get into our next match of the evening, which is also technically a glorified squash match, yes, but one that was still fun just because of who was involved in this. So first, we have LSG, which I have to say, this is my first introduction to him. I love the space cadet character that he's got going on. He's like, from the seventh nebula. I'm like, okay, you already win points for me because this is ridiculous.
Yes, the Daft Punk love it. Helmet.
He literally is a Daft Punk wrestler. It's fantastic. But then, of course, we all know why we're here. He's been all over TikTok recently with people doing memes of him, which is more fantastic to get more people to check out TNA. But say his name and he will appear. We believe in Joe Hendry as Joe Hendry comes out. And as always, before his matches, he cuts this promo talking about what is going to happen at Rebellion and then getting the crowd to say, we believe in Joe Hendry. And we proceed to have this squash match.
Yeah, I definitely woke up this morning with that song stuck in my head. It will randomly get stuck in my head throughout the day. But I love that in this promo, he talked about, I was about to call him Top Dollar, AJ Francis's cash tights, because that was one of the things we complained about, how they look and how they make his legs look and everything. So it's kind of funny that even the people involved are aware of those things. But yeah, this was a squash match, but it was still awesome because we got Joe Hendry. So, you know, if we get Joe Hendry, it's still fun. And it means we got to see him one more time before we go into Rebellion. You're muted.
I knew that. I was like, I was testing you. And you passed with flying colors. No, but I'm excited. I'm happy that Joe Hendry is back on our television screen because there was that period we didn't see him and I was worrying. I was like, what happened? Did he get the Kyle Fletcher treatment and visa issues wouldn't allow him to be here? But thankfully, that seemed not to be the case. Besides the song, the other part that will live rent-free in my head is when he appeared when Diener and AJ Francis were having that conversation.
Oh, yeah.
And it was playing and they both clapped and AJ's like, why are you clapping?
Yeah, I don't know what happened.
It just happened. But Joe Hendry picks up the victory here. It gives him this win right before he faces Rich Swann at Rebellion. I'm excited to see that match because anytime we get Joe Hendry, it's going to be fantastic. Cool. And even though I might have some minor nitpicks with Rich Swann's current character we're dealing with right now, I do know his athletic ability in the ring is going to be fantastic. Mm-hmm. And I'm excited to see where this goes. From here, we then get a 6-man tag team match. This shows Grit Your Teeth, GYV, and Mustafa Ali taking on the team of Jake Something, Cody Diener. And I'm thinking to myself, okay, so 2-on-3, not sure how I feel, but this is going to be great. And then Diener cuts his promo talking about like what, you know, it's not our choice, it's the audience's choice. I'm like, what is this? What in the TRL is this? I was like, what in the fan vote American Idol? And so he's like, do you want to see us do a 3-on-2? Or do you want to have us tag with somebody who is familiar with these halls in Philadelphia? And then he calls out Rhino, and I'm just sitting here. I was just like, you got me excited, and then you let me down. How dare you, Diener? I thought we are better than this.
Yeah, I still don't know how I'm feeling about this version of Diener. Like, I don't mind him working with Jake again. But honestly, just when he comes out and he talks and everything, it makes him feel weaker. And so I don't know. I think I need to see what's going to happen with him interacting with more people. But yeah, that part kind of threw me off for the beginning of this match. And yeah, I wasn't super thrilled that Rhino was the third person, but.
Yeah. Me and Andrew had a conversation off camera and also in our text threads about, you know, Mr. Rhino over here. And we're going to choose not to elect to say what we said in those, but use Google and check out some things because that might change your perspective on a lot of things. I'm going to be honest, I would have preferred this to be a 2-on-3 because Jake is the size of like 2.5 people anyways.
Yeah, I did enjoy commentary going back and forth, especially in the middle of this match, because it felt like the match started off kind of slow, lulled.
Mm-hmm.
And then, like, it was right before they took Jake out, like, by all three of them running him into the post, that it was, like, leading up to that through the end of the match was actually really fun. And it kind of picked back up, and I think that gave me the excitement for the rest of the night. But early on, commentary was going back and forth, and I swear there were a few times that they almost like broke each other. Like Matthew Raywald at one point, like you could hear him kind of like chuckle when he was saying stuff. And it was like, I think they were like breaking character for a minute. It was pretty funny.
I'm going to be completely honest, Andrew. Outside of Ian Riccaboni and Caprice Coleman and ROH, I think Tom Hannafin and Matthew Raywald are probably my second favorite commentary team across all of the different promotions that we review here at BC WrestlePod. They're just having a great time. And I'm like, you know what? That would be me. I would be Tom Hannafin, and I just need a Matthew Raywald to balance me out. It would be fantastic.
They're the best version that we have of the, like, face heel commentators.
Mm-hmm.
Because there's other people that do it, and like it either gets really messy, or it's just seems forced, or it's just their characters are just not as enjoyable because they're like trying to be the like heelish one, or the, you know, at least in line with the heel wrestlers, and they come across as like more irritating or something. But the two of them, they do it really well. And I think it helps that, you know, I mean, a lot of the commentators are former wrestlers too, but Matthew Raywald was, he's someone who we only got to see a little bit of, especially in WWE, of like what he could, like really how dynamic he is. And so I think he really just gets to flex that here in TNA.
Yeah. Him and Simon Gotch, because Vaudevillains was one of my favorite tag teams. Yeah. And then we saw how that turned out. The Big Machine just never gave them the chance. I'm also still not over the Fashion Police. How dare they not give the titles to those boys? That was a crime against humanity and fashion.
It's because, you know, he hates professional wrestling, so they just couldn't support
him. Where has Dango been? Like,
I don't know.
I hope everything's okay, because look, I hate his character, but I like Dango as the person and as the wrestler. We love him.
Well, remember, they had a faction split, so maybe we're getting a break.
Gonna
to
take
get
some
a
time
rework.
To rebrand him, maybe. But spoiler alert, I'm excited to see his former tag team partner in New Jersey with Mr. Breeze being a part of that show that's happening on Saturday, May 18th, part of New Jersey Wrestle Show. Shameless plug right there. I mean, GYV and Mustafa Ali get the victory here, so it gives GYV another win underneath their belts, but it also allows Ali as the champion to walk out as the go-home show as a winner. Oh. Which foretells me, I'm really, really hoping, and we're going to save the full-length discussion for our predictions video, but I'm really hoping, because Ali left the go-home show as winner, we're going to get a new champion in the X Division for Rebellion. Yeah. But crazier things have happened. So we shall see what goes from there. Next up, we get a quick segment video package with Steve Macklin, so it's nice to see that we're still having him around, because I like Steve. I know it has been reported that his contract with TNA is up sometime this summer, if I remember reports correctly. But here's hoping that he sticks around, because I like Steve in TNA. I think him being allowed to do this kind of character and him bouncing back from, unfortunately, being stuck with someone who has very radical views when they were part of the Forgotten Sons in WWE, lest we forget that little faction. But Steve Macklin is still here, and he talks about how technically he did have the first win for this new era of TNA when he won the very first match that happened at Hard to Kill earlier this year in January. And he's going to continue that trend, and he's going to bag him and tag him. So same kind of promo that we're used to seeing for Macklin, but it's nice to see that we might have something for him post-Rebellion.
Mm-hmm.
Then, I don't know about you, Andrew, and I might be on by myself on this lonely island. This next video package and promo is probably my favorite from beginning to end in terms of how it was directed and shot and just the overall arching narrative. We have Eric Young in the background in some garage, like industrial area, and someone is calling out to him. And as he answers that call, it turns out that this version of Eric Young is having a conversation with the Violent by Design, Eric Young. Look, normally when we have these dual perspectives, usually I hate them because it's just so cheesy and awkward. But I can tell that they took the time on how they shot this and they tried to get someone who is similar build, body and physical wise, but also underneath the mask too, when they weren't focusing on the mask and over the shoulder stuff. But the whole entire content of this promo was that Eric Young is ensure that this current version of him that he is now is enough to face Frankie in the Full Metal Mayhem match. And so I love the duality between the two Eric Youngs, where normally I was going to expect like the Violent by Design is like, yeah, let's destroy him, let's kill him, like that kind of stuff. But it's a very nuanced discussion between the two, which ultimately ends with Eric Young reverting back to his Violent by Design self and basically telling Frankie Kazarian that it's not just a matter of winning or losing in this match anymore. I'm in this thing to hurt you, so you better be ready because I am going to hurt you, Frankie. And that's how we end the promo. This was my favorite promo of the whole entire evening in terms of like pre-tape stuff, because my favorite in-ring is definitely going to go to Nick, spoiler alert. But This is the kind of stuff that I love from a writer's perspective, because it got the point across, it didn't overstay its welcome, and you could tell that they took the time and effort to try to make this thing as cool, but also logically make sense given for the narrative that we have been told. And it answered one of the biggest gripes I had, because I felt like Frankie and Eric have been absent the last couple 2 weeks or so from TNA television. I was like, I forgot they have a match at Rebellion. How are we going to find this angle? And then this happened. I'm like, okay, I take it back what I said.
Yeah, it definitely has me second guessing my pick for that match. I like that they're going to go there with Eric Young. I think Eric Young is always the most fun when he's extreme, whether he's being this crazy Eric Young, whether it's the Violent by Design, Sanity, that kind of Eric Young, or if it's the super Eric, like, you know, like over the top comedic kind of version. But either way, those are always my favorite versions of him, because he just does them so well. So this just gives me really high hopes for how crazy that Full Metal Mayhem match is going to be.
Yeah. After this promo, I'm going to be honest, like it shot up as like one of my most anticipated matches now for Rebellion. Not just because of the spectacle, but you made me invested in a character. Who knew wrestling companies, when you allow character tropes to work for the wrestlers and you allow them to have some sort of control with their creative plans, you could churn out stuff that is amazing like this. But I agree with you. I'm more excited to see how this match goes between Frankie and Eric at Rebellion and Full Metal Mayhem. And it gets me excited the fact that this might be just a one night only kind of thing with Violent by Design Eric Young, or it might be a thing that continues on afterwards. So we always say this here at BC WrestlePod, but we shall wait and see in what's going to result from all of this. So after these two back-to-back segments, we do get our next match of the evening. This is a kind of setting the stage for what we're getting on the countdown show for the Knockouts Tag Team Championships. We have one representative from each team in that match. So we have Rosemary taking on Jody Threat. And this match was a quick, like, 5-6 minute match. I like seeing all these women. I do. I am sad that it was short, but it served its purpose because both Dani Luna and Havoc were they were both out there. They wanted to help their partners, but they also came to a mutual agreement that they can't necessarily get involved with it. Like towards the finishing sequence, both of them are up on the apron. They look at each other and then just slowly back away. They're like, you know what? We can't do this, which allows Rosemary to pick up the sneak win for, you know, her and Havoc. So Rosemary does end up pinning Jody Threat in this one with the surprise roll up, the most devastating move in all professional wrestling, which in this case, I'm going to be honest, I didn't necessarily mind it. Because it makes sense for the characters that are Decay. They are the underworld. They are backhanded, dirty tactics. And they're going to do whatever it takes to get those titles back. I know we have complained about how there's lack of depth in the kiddie pool that is the Knockouts tag team division. Nonetheless, though, I am excited to see these two teams go at it for the titles. I am a little bit worried, though, because we did get an announcement on social media and during the bumpers later in the evening that Spitfire is going to be accompanied by pop punk legend. I forget his name. And so I was like, please don't tell me our girls are going to lose these titles this quick. I'm like, oh, man. But who knows? I might be proven wrong.
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't hate for Decay to be the champions, but I don't want to see Spitfire's run be this short, especially with the way that they won titles. Mm-hmm. I felt like in this match, the finish could have been a bit more to it. There could have just been something else slightly more interesting, but it did set up the title match. And I hope that since Jody Threat took the pin, that means we might see Spitfire come out victorious. Mm-hmm. I think it does say a lot, and I think that's something that TNA needs to really focus on, is the fact that we have consistently had build-ups to Knockouts title matches by having the tag teams wrestle singles matches against each other. That shows that, like, normally what we would see is, oh, the champs or the number one contenders are going to wrestle another tag team to lead into them facing off at the pay-per-view for the tag titles. But instead, what we constantly get is the tag teams wrestling singles matches against each other. And while I do enjoy them, I think we really need more depth in this division. So I'm really hoping we get some more built up out of this.
I hope so too. Again, as I previously stated, I'm excited to see this match happen at Rebellion, and I think it's going to be a fun match. I'm just hoping that over the next three pay-per-views that we have for TNA, we find a way to add depth to the Knockouts division and to kind of stop hot potatoing these things around. I mean, go check out our ROH review. I'm saying, TNA, you can make amends and get the Hex, you know, get the Hex to be in their part time. Like, I'm going to be completely honest. I think the Knockouts division really started hurting once the Inspiration left. And then also Madison Rayne and, you know, the Influence also not being there with Chelsea Green and Tennille Dashwood and all that too. I think it hurt. And with Killer Kelly taking some time off, that took away MK Ultra. So now we only got these two. I still think this is going to be a fantastic match. I'm just hoping that the next cycle leading into the next big four of Slammiversary, we start to add depth to this. But I'm still excited for the match. Then we get part three in this long series with Jonathan Gresham. This is another promo for him in this pre-tape segment. And this time it's called Acceptance. And this whole premise of this promo is, you know, the person leading this kind of group therapy, would that be the correct term of what we're witnessing here, or a support group of some sort? But he asked Jonathan, why do you wear the mask? And then I'm hearing the narration of the octopus mask. I'm like, Keith David, is that you? Like, I was like, I'm just listening. I'm like, Keith David is in my head now. I can't unhear it. I'm excited. I hope something happens at Rebellion, because it seems that we have reached the end of these three-part promos for Jonathan Gresham. So here's hoping that either at Rebellion or post Rebellion, something's going to involve Jonathan Gresham, and I'm here for it. I've been loving how mysterious these promos have been.
Yeah, I'm super intrigued to see what this is leading to. And I think it'll be fun to get a new version of Jonathan Gresham. I think it's strange that we got very similar promos back to back, like basically before and after the last match that we had, with at the end of this promo, we had Jonathan Gresham sitting on the bench with the masked version of himself. So I thought that was interesting that we did that with him and with Eric Young. Mm-hmm. But either way, I'm excited because it also means he's coming back and it looks like they're doing something interesting. I kind of hope that it's not just him. I hope that, like, all of the people in the group are going to be a part of it too, or at least the person that's, like, leading this stuff. But I'm down to see where they're going to go with it. So they've got me intrigued.
To kind of throw a callback to what you said last week during our review, I would love to see the TNA version of the foundation for Jonathan Gresham in here. That's something that you brought up during last week's review, and I kind of been sitting with it for the last week. And the more I think about it, the more that I hope we get something like that for Jonathan Gresham, especially in this current iteration that we've seen in the three-part promos that we've gotten with him. If this is what he chooses to channel his character as, I would love to see this version of Jonathan Gresham lead a faction or so and kind of be the antithesis to what the system currently is. Very, very cool and very, very awesome to watch. So then we get into wrestling-wise, our main event of the evening. Strap in, kids, because this was a long match. This went, for me, because I watched it on television, this went through three whole commercial breaks. This is like a 27-minute match. And Andrew, I'm pretty sure I speak for both of us, but come on. There was no other choice. This was my match of the night, and I think this was probably yours as well.
Yeah.
Man, this match was amazing, and it reminded me there is 20 plus years of wrestling experience in the ring between all four of these men.
Oh, like 80.
I love that commentary mentioned between these four, there's like 21 plus championships that each of these four men has held. This was a nonstop pay-per-view worthy match that we got on free television. And obviously, this definitely was the send-off for Motor City Machine Guns and TNA. And man, what a way to go. This match was baller. All four men brought everything they had to this match. And this is why tag team wrestling can be glorious if given the time and chance to shine. Because Andrew, this was fire.
Yeah. I think each of the wrestlers in this match have 20 years or so of experience. This was definitely my match of the night. Some of the almost like electric chair setup, dropkick facebuster combo that Motor City hit on the system. There's still that backpack stunner elbow combination from the system was super crazy too. My only issue with this match was I wish I didn't know about the stuff with Motor City Machine Guns behind the scenes, because no matter how good it was, I knew what the outcome was going to be. So that was the only bummer, is like, I knew how this was going to end. It was like watching a movie based on a historical event. And no matter how excited I got about it, I knew how it was going to end because that's what really happened. But outside of that, yeah, this was a phenomenal match. I was hoping that when we were getting the lead up to Shelley and Sabin, kind of ending it with TNA, that we would get one final match between them, because it looked like the last matches we were going to get were singles matches. So I'm happy that they built this one in there so we got to see this. And honestly, this was a great way to show how good of a team the system is. Like, we've seen it before, but just a really good reminder, especially going up against, I don't even say arguably, I would say the best tag team in TNA history. They've just been the most consistent, the most dominant, the most like innovative. And I think getting to see them work together was a great way to just show what these four veterans could do. And it was a phenomenal match.
I don't really have a lot of notes on this because I was just glued to my television screen watching this. And all I can say is this was a phenomenal match. I agree with you with the sentiment that because we heard about what was going on behind the scenes with Motor City Machine Guns finishing up with TNA and kind of going into free agency status, it kind of sucked knowing the outcome of what it was going to be. But nonetheless, this was a phenomenal match. The system retained their championships because this technically was for the tag team championships, and the winner would go to face on Speedball Mountain at Rebellion. So it's going to be System versus Speedball Mountain at Rebellion. So that's going to be a fantastic run. And then I want to take some time because since Motor City Machine Guns are officially done with TNA for right now, I do want to say Alex Shelley and Chris Sabin, you're probably never going to see this, but if by some miracle you happen to stumble upon this video, I want to let you know, for me personally, as someone who's only really been watching Impact / TNA for the last 3.5 years or so, that all kind of started in the midst of pandemic and lockdown with nothing else to do. Thank you for providing us with so many good matches over the last 3.5 years for me. I've always been a fan of Motor City Machine Guns, but this current run that you did in TNA was super phenomenal. And you guys, even at your current age and for how long you've been a tag team, you guys still are, for me personally, yeah, you're one of the best tag teams in the world. Not just in America, but I think you are probably my top rated tag team in the world. And I think you guys are going to do amazing things on the independents, in your free agency. Also, if you decide to go, if the rumors are true and you are going to AEW, I'm super excited to see you mix it up with a lot of good tag teams over there, from the Bucks to FDR to some of the ones that I feel that would be surprisingly good hits too, like go up against House of Black, I think would be fantastic. But I wish you good things on your future endeavors. And thank you for the time that you've given to us here in TNA, because I have become such a huge fan and I'm excited to see what lies next for all of you.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Sorry for getting in. I have to always make sure, and side tangent, I always want the wrestlers to know how much I appreciate them, because they provide entertainment for us, but also the amount of talent that Sabin and Shelley have is just, I feel like, doesn't get talked a lot about when we talk about best tag teams in the world of like the current generation of wrestlers that we have. It kind of boggles my mind that those two are never brought up, but I'm hoping, if the rumors are true and they're signing with AEW, now I hope they get to show the Western audiences, oh, maybe they probably are the best tag team in the world, and now they have a bigger platform to kind of showcase all that. So I'm excited for their future. I really am.
Heck, if they go to AEW, have them show up on Sunday at Dynasty after whoever gets crowned the tag team champion.
Okay, can I tell you my conspiracy theory about that? Because I said that during the predictions video. Spoiler alert, make sure to go check that out. But I said, I was like, okay, I'm picking the Bucks to win, but this is where two things can happen. You could pull a New Day at WrestleMania and be like, oh, this is now a triple threat, and Motor City Machine Guns come out to win, or you have the Bucks win or FTR win, and then Motor City Machine Guns make their debut and come out. Gosh, I hope that's the plan. Tony Khan, don't mess this up, please. Please. But we shall see what happens on Sunday at Dynasty. All right, Andrew. Well, that was our main event. Nope, we're not done with this quite yet, because I looked at my television. I was like, hold up, we still got like 5 minutes left. What's about to go down? Look, I like Nick Nemeth's entrance music, but every time I hear the, oh my God, I'm like, all I want to say is that Private Party? But Nick Nemeth's music hits and we get a couple of minutes as he's doing his best Sandman impression. As he's in the crowd with the bat, he drinks a beer. Like, just from that alone, I'm like, all right, Nick, if we don't win, we're going to riot. Like, he's just genuinely a great dude and he loves this business. I'm like, I love you so much, Nick. And then he cut this promo, and then I loved him anymore. I'm like, damn it, now I have to think about reconsidering my choices here of who I want to win. Logically, and we'll talk about this during the prediction video, logically, my brain says Moose, but my heart wants Nick Nemeth after this promo, and even the way he counteracted Moose's, you know, jabs at him. And I love when wrestlers aren't afraid to acknowledge it. It's like, you're not facing Dolph Ziggler. You're facing Nick Nemeth. I'm like, claps all around. I really love this promo.
Yeah, by the time this was done, like, all I could think is this is going to be such a good match. I think these two, like, I could see them giving them like 30 minutes for this match, and then
please do them just TNA
going all out. And like you, I think it has me second guessing my my prediction. But at the same time, the more I think about it, it kind of reinforces it, because I could see this being the beginning, not the end of this feud.
Mm-hmm. I really, really like this. And I was going to be honest, before watching TNA, as much as I was excited when we got it announced weeks ago that it was going to be Moose versus Nick, I felt that this story build has been up and down when it comes to certain things. But man, this promo really won me over, and it's probably made me super excited for this match. I can't wait to see what happens. And, you know, we end this episode of TNA where they roll the beautiful B-roll footage, and they basically do all these promo segments to hype up every single match we have going into Rebellion. Shout out to the videography team, because this was beautiful. This, for me, this is how you get me hyped for a pay-per-view. Not a whole brawl on the go-home show with your title contenders fighting it out, but sometimes that it is very nice. But I love these recap video promo packages hyping me up for this pay-per-view. And Andrew, by the end of this, as I was sitting, as the credits began to roll on my television, I just sat there on my couch for a couple of minutes, and I could not stop smiling, because this is giving me the same feeling that I had when we were anticipating Hard to Kill. It's got me really excited with the prospect of what the matches were getting. More importantly, I was super excited because I get to watch TNA with two of my favorite peoples on this planet, which makes me super excited.
Yeah, this was a really good go-home show. That it's, you know, looking at my review for this night, like, all in all, I left this being really excited for the pay-per-view.
I truly am. And that does bring us to the last thing for the go home show, is we got to rate this thing. I'm going to shock the world here. I'm giving this a 9 out of 10 for me. Only because for go home shows, for me, there has to be a lot done. And I feel that this particular show, while maybe the wrestling was, you know, not as extravagant as some other weeks have been on TNA, what this episode did went beyond just the wrestling we saw. And for me personally, it fixed some of the critiques I've had over the last couple of weeks of how I wanted certain stories to be built up. And then with one promo segment, or, you know, small minor tweaks or things that were shown and said over the course of this episode, they filled in a lot of the gaps that I had for the critiques. And again, everything that we saw, the main event definitely helped give me this high rating, because this was a phenomenal match. Nick Nemeth promo won me over, so that was also a lot of bonus points. But again, the ending with all the promos, hyping up all the matches, this is to me how you do a go-home show. You hype up what you're about to see, but you also start planting seeds of what's to come afterwards. And I'm super excited. I'm biased as all heck when it comes to this, but I'm giving this a 9 out of 10. My level of excitement has me feeling like I'm a 10-year-old again. Just, this show reminds me why I like professional, why I love, not like, love professional wrestling.
I give this an 8 out of 10 because the top of the night was a little hit or miss for me. It felt like it had a slow start, took a little while to get going. But then, you know, halfway through-ish or so, or maybe the second, third of the show, it really started to pick up. And by the time we got to the end, it was a really awesome show. It got me super hyped for what's to come. Had some really great matches, some fun promos, whether it was the live one or some of the vignettes that we got. So yeah, I thought this was a really, really good show. And it was, I would rather have it start slow and build up to exciting climax, then it start off big and then just kind of taper out as we get towards the end of the evening. But yeah, overall, I thought this was a really, really good show.
100% agreed. And this brings us to the end of this week's Takedown Trip review. So before me and Andrew sign off for the evening, just to do a little bit of housekeeping. I mean, if you've seen one video, you've seen them all, so you know what I'm about to say. You can check out all the other stuff we have on the YouTube channel. Follow us all over the social medias at BC WrestlePod. You can listen to our audio versions of the reviews as well. If you can't commit to watching our videos, but still want to, you know, be down for the cause. And then, of course, the East Coast Collective, which is JVL, Jesse, and Adolfo, and myself will be at New Jersey Wrestle Show Saturday, May 18th and Sunday, May 19th, both at the convention. And we're also going to be at the actual wrestling show Saturday night. So come say hi. It's going to be a good time. Before we sign off, though, just a quick bit of information. This is the go-home show for TNA, which means Rebellion is finally upon us. So me, Andrew, and our other lovely co-host, Will be getting together to watch Rebellion live. But then check us out on Sunday, April 21st. We will be doing a live stream review of Rebellion at 10:30 a.m. Pacific Standard Time. It's going to be a good time. Please stop by, say hi. It is an hour later than what we did for our standard deliver review for WrestleMania weekend. So hopefully we'll be more rejuvenated and refreshed. But me and Andrew got to get up on out of here because we got to prepare ourselves for Rebellion. But thank you so much for tuning in to this episode of the Takedown Troop. From myself, Andrew, Will, and the rest of the BC WrestlePod boys, remember, take care of yourself, love one another, stay Biconic, and more importantly than anything, you always deserve to finish your story. We'll catch you at the Rebellion review on Sunday morning. But until then, ta-ta for now.
Thank you so much for tuning in to another Vibe Tribe production. What's going to happen next time? Well, you're going to have to tune in to find out. But until then, remember, take care of yourself, love one another, and as always, make sure that you keep the good times rolling. Thank you for being here, and we'll see you next time.